A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to take 10 Fit Talmud. Baba Metzia Chavtes, Baba Metzia 29b. Pagination is 58, starting from the Mishnah on the second wide line. Matzah Sfarim. If a person found scrolls, we use the word Sfarim to refer to printed, bound Sfarim books of Torah. Over here, we're referring to scrolls, and it's going to have its own unique rule. We're talking about what kind of care a person has to give to these found scrolls until the person who lost them will claim them. Kori Bahen, Echad L'Shloshim Yom, he has to read in them once in 30 days. That provides the safer with the airing out and the care that's needed. And that's what should be done. Vim eino yodea likros, if he doesn't know how to read, he's not a scholar, he's not familiar with the safer, as we'll see in a moment, one of the provisions, golulon, he should simply roll it, and that's how he airs it out. Aval lo yomod bahen batchila, he should not be reading in it for the first time, Rashi explains, because then he's going to delve into it and it's going to remain open longer than appropriate. And that's what we're suggesting, that it may depend on what type of scroll he found. He may be familiar with Chumash Bereishis. He might not be familiar with the book of Eov or Daniel, or vice versa. Velo yikra acher imo, and another person should not be reading with him, Rashi explains, the last of the wide lines on the top of the page, lefi shezem moshech etzlo vezem moshech etzlo venikra, because one person who's learning from it would pull one way, the other person pulls the other way, and it could rip. So there are certain conditions, as much as we want to get it aired out, but there are ways that it should be done. Matzak sus, if he found a garment, minara echod l'shloshim yom, he should air it out once in 30 days, vishotcho litzarko, and he could spread it out for its purpose, for the benefit of preserving the cloth, avalo l'chvodo, but he's not allowed to spread it out for his honor. You may recall in Hilchas Pesach, by the laws of the Seder, there's a concept of displaying articles of wealth that a person has to reinforce the concept of royalty. And over there it's written that it may be possible for a person to display mashkonos, collateral, that was given to him in exchange for a loan. That collateral, even though it's not his, but it represents his assets, and it could be that he's allowed to display those items. This, however, is not his. It belongs to somebody else. He's only displaying it, so to speak, spreading it out, whatever is beneficial to the item, but he should not be spreading it out for his own honor. Let's skip to the Gemara. Two lines later. Amar Shmuel says, Amotze tefillin b'shuk. A person finds tefillin, some demeyim, he evaluates them, umanichan la'altar, and he's allowed to use them right away. You mark in a book how much it was worth, and that's the amount that you would return to the owner, but you don't have to hold on to the item itself, according to this ruling of Shmuel. Masiv Ravina asked, Matzah Sfarim Kore Ben Echad L'Shloshim Yom. There's an entire Mishnah here that describes how you should care for holy articles. V'meina Yodea Likros, if you don't know how to read, Golulon, you just roll them. Golulon in, you roll them. Sam Demeyim Manicham Lo, it doesn't say that you just evaluate them and you're allowed to use them, sell them, whatever. And these are actually two very different approaches. We have this concept sometimes a person forgets a raincoat, let's say, in a shul. So in some places, they have the policy that anything that's left more than a certain amount of time, there's periodic cleanup. And they're allowed to dispose of the item, if that's the policy. Another approach that's used or suggested is that you could evaluate the item, mark it in a book, and do some sort of flea market, because at a certain point, the rental of storage, of space, of the item would detract from the item's value, because you're allowed to reduce whatever is oseva ochel, whatever it's consuming. And if it's a place where space is money, so then you would evaluate it and you could sell it. These are two very different approaches. One is to preserve the item almost indefinitely, and the other is you're allowed to sell it. And we're asking a contradiction between the ruling by Tefillin to the ruling by Sfarim that we had in the Mishnah. Amar Abaya, Abaya said, Tefillin be barchavu mishkech shchichi. To obtain another pair of Tefillin is easy. They have them. People write Tefillin. Sfarim lo shchichi. But to get a scroll of scholarship, that's not so easy. Not easy to come by. And therefore, by the Sefer, we ask you to preserve it. By the Tefillin, we allow you to sell it. It's worthy to explore what would be nowadays. In our time, almost all Sfarim are obtainable in a new copy, whereas Tefillin, quite often, a person is using his Tefillin that he got for his bar mitzvah, that his grandfather bought for him in Eretz Yisrael, and they have tremendous sentimental value. And therefore, even though this is the ruling in the time of the Gemara, it would have to be revisited and applied with seichel, with intelligence, according to the actual application that is presented. If the Sefer is rare, if the Sefer is marked up with notations from its owner, etc., all of this should be taken into account, and we would not simply sell it as the Gemara describes by the case of Tefillin in their time. Related to the Mishnah's description of how to care for Sfarim that you found and are waiting to be claimed, the Gemara mentions Tanu Rabbanon, Hashoel Sefer Torah. If you borrow a Sefer Torah from somebody, Hareza lo yashi lenu la'acher, you're not allowed to lend it to somebody else. Poscho v'koribo, you're allowed to use it. Uvavach lo yimud bo batchila, you're not allowed to learn new things in it. V'lo yikra acher imo, and someone else is not allowed to learn with you. And these were provisions based on the Sefer Torah of their time, what the expectations were for proper care, not to leave it open too long, unless, I guess, you had that agreed with the person who lent it to you. Now, the Gemara wonders on this statement, beginning of a line, Amar Mar, Hasho Sefer Torah mechaver, a person who borrowed a Sefer Torah from somebody, Hareza lo yashilenu la'acha, you shouldn't lend it to somebody else. My ir ye Sefer Torah, filu kol mili nami, anything. You're not allowed to lend something that you borrowed to somebody else. You have to have permission. Maybe the owner doesn't want his item entrusted to that person. And the Gemara answers, Ma'u de tema, I would have thought, Nichale le'inish de'teoved mitzvah b'mamonei. I would have thought that a person is pleased to have a mitzvah done with his assets. Kamash malon, that when it comes to a Sefer Torah, we're concerned about its proper care because it's delicate, and therefore he's not allowed to lend it to the next person. This is a subject matter that also deserves to be explored. How would it apply in our time? If a person, for example, borrowed a chumash from somebody, and he's learning from it, and then he gets up to make a phone call, and someone says, "Can I borrow that chumash while you're making your phone call?" Is he obligated to say, "I'm sorry, I borrowed it from somebody, and it's a sefer, and I can't lend it out"? Or do we apply this concept of a person is pleased to do a mitzvah with his money, and the only reason we didn't apply it is because the Sefer Torah is so delicate? But if you would get something that has greater level of endurance, perhaps this concept could be applied, and as long as he's using it with care in the same place, it's not going to get lost, it's not going to get abused. Perhaps on a sefer that has endurance and is not of sentimental value, perhaps it could be lent to the next person. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.